Welcome to Becoming Limitless. This is the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to optimize their brain and their body with biohacking. I'm going to teach you how to eliminate brain fog and upgrade your health so you can have more productivity, energy, and growth in your business. I'm your host, Tanessa Shears. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're having a great week so far. At the time of this recording, which is in early August, I have been like obsessed with this idea of cultivating a new hobby. You know those times when you just are like, you know what? I definitely spend my time at work working and then I'm with my family. And, you know, I like to read and I do make time for that. But at a certain point, I was just like, you know what? I want something more that is mine, that I can go to, that I'm doing literally just for fun and just for me. And I became obsessed with this idea of a hobby. And now, of course, after thinking about it for a while, I was thinking of two things. I'm like, one, I think photography would be interesting. And my husband, as a wedding videographer, he already has a lot of the gear. And I was like, cool. But then the other thing, I was like, maybe I want a garden. Ooh, that sounds fun because it really ties into everything I love, which is, you know, whole food living and, you know, eating organic and stuff like that. And I thought this would be a really cool thing as well to teach my daughter. So she's 18 months old right now already. And I really want her to understand like how we grow our food and taking care of something and, you know, being invested in the way that we eat, because we feed her a very strict whole food diet where she gets plenty of healthy fats and carbohydrates and protein. And so I'd love her to really experience growing the vegetables herself in addition to eating them. So gardening is what we're doing. So I ordered my raised garden bed. I went to a store here in Vancouver called, Amsterdam Greenhouse. And I bought my plants and I brought my seeds and I'm going to do some microgreens and sprouting and I bought some dirt. And I'm just so excited that this is the hobby that I'm going to take with me through the rest of summer and fall season. So this just might be a fun little side note. If you think that you're missing, you know, some me time and some things that you truly enjoy in your life, it is never too late to start a new hobby. So that's kind of what's going on with me today. But what we're going to be talking about is today's episode is all about what I eat in a day. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I was a full-time personal trainer, so I started personal training back in probably about 2010, and I was full-time with clients all the time, and I eventually opened my own personal training business in 2014, and I used to be obsessed with all of the fitness channels that were on YouTube at the time, and particularly like when any of the fitness girls that I followed online came out with what I eat in a day, I was like, oh my gosh, yay, this is so much great information. I could just eat what they're eating and then look the way they're eating, and if I could just copy that, then things would be so easy and I'll finally, you know, find a way that I love eating. Well, these videos actually just ended up being more entertainment than anything else, because I think that one of the biggest missing links in all of the nutrition information we are presented with today is like, well, yes, that works for you, but how do I make that work for me? And I can't tell you how many clients I have taken on over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years that have come to me in a place where their personal trainer gave them a diet, or they downloaded something off the internet, or their friend shared something with them and it's not working with them. And I always compare following a diet plan to playing guitar. Now, hear me out on this. If, let's say you don't play guitar, first of all, if you do, just pretend you don't. So if I gave you a guitar one day and told you, play me a song, you'd probably be like, I don't know how, right? So what is missing is all of the progressions. Why do you put your hands here? What happens when you do this? Well, what happens if I do, you know, this over here? And it's practicing sequential steps and understanding how it works so you could put chords together, so you could put music together, right? Well, diet plans are the same way. I always think it's imperative that my clients understand why certain foods are chosen. And what do I do if I go to a restaurant? If I still want to follow the structure, how do I choose something else in place? Or like if I run out of a certain ingredient, what is a simple swap I could make? And I find that this is the skill that most people miss out on, is that they don't know why they're eating what they're eating. They just think it's healthy because someone else ate it. So when they're in a position where they can't make that exact choice, they end up just saying, well, it's okay, whatever. I'll just skip this meal. I'll start next week. It's fine. It doesn't matter. And we start giving all these excuses to ourselves, right? So if you tuned into this episode, and I say this with love, if you tuned into this episode to get a perfect plan that you could literally go to the grocery store, buy, and implement tomorrow, this might be why you are still struggling with eating well. Now, hear me out. I am going to tell you exactly what I eat in a week. I am going to give you that because that is important. But more than that, I am going to tell you my thinking behind each choice so that you can be like, oh, that makes sense why she eats that for breakfast. That makes sense why she does that. And that way, when you are actually creating your own meal plan, even when if you take inspiration from mine, it is not meant to be like, here's what I'm eating, you should eat this too. It's here's what I'm eating and here's why I'm eating it. Now, adapt this for your life, because if I eat a food, for example, if I eat eggs and you're allergic to eggs, that's not going to work. But if you understand why I chose a food like eggs, it makes it really easy to swap out. And I think it is this critical thinking skill that is going to really help you understand food, why you're eating it, why it's benefiting you, and when it's not. So that is what I want to say at the start of this episode. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to eat, but the most important thing I want you to start getting out of this is why I am eating it. So before we begin, I think it's important that you know these six very strong beliefs that I have about food. Knowing these beliefs is important because it is going to help you understand why I choose the foods I do and why I think about food the way that I do. I honestly think it is these beliefs that I have and ways of looking at the world that make healthy eating easy and being consistent even easier. Now, I'm not saying that you have to adopt my way of thinking about food. I want you to consider this. I am going to present to you some ideas which you might love and some which you might not love. I want you to critically take the thoughts I have that you like and apply them and then disregard the rest. They are just different ways of looking at food that have served me very well. Belief number one is that food is for fuel and not entertainment. So having experienced this myself and worked with clients, sometimes we choose food because it's good or it's yummy or it's fun or it's what we eat when we do birthdays or what we eat when we do family dinners, right? Like, oh, we like going out for dinner and having, you know, all this decadent food and I end up with a stomachache and feeling poor the next day. No. In my personal opinion, food's job is to take care of the cells in my body. It is to provide nutrition so that it works properly, that my brain is clear, that I can show up and feel present and amazing. I get my entertainment elsewhere in my life, meaning I don't rely on food to make me happy or to make happiness, to make situations better. So for example, if I go out for food, or, you know, dinner with family, I'm going out to spend time with family, not because the food is good or tasty, you know what I mean? So that's why I'm totally fine choosing healthy choices a lot of the time. Now, this is not to say that I don't choose unhealthy choices. I am going to talk about that later. But I really want you to understand that in my view, I get the joy in my life and entertainment from sources outside of food. This makes food's job easy. It is for fuel. It is not its job to make me happy, to make me entertained, to stop me from feeling bored. Food is fuel. Belief number two that I have, food is not boring. I hear this a lot, like healthy eating is boring. You eat like a rabbit. Salads are boring. Food is boring. You eat the same thing all the time. Isn't that boring? It's not food's job to entertain me. It's food didn't sign up with the responsibility of making me happy and making sure that my brain was entertained. This is why I don't mind eating similar things day after day. Different varieties of salads, different varieties of Buddha bowls, different varieties of eggs. You know what I mean? This is why I don't mind, because it's not food that's boring. It's literally my thinking about it, that it should be different all the time and food should be entertaining. I'm totally okay with it being boring because, again, we go back to belief number one, food is not entertainment. It's fuel. Belief number three, it doesn't have to taste amazing for me to eat it. Now, this is not saying I eat foods I don't like. This means that I eat foods that aren't my favorite, and that's okay. Here's a really good example. If you've ever worked with me, you know that I have a love-hate relationship with avocados. I don't love them. I don't hate them either. They're okay. The taste, it bugs me. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of a weird mushiness. I don't love it. Everyone has given me suggestions. I've tried it with lemon. I've tried it with lime. I've tried it with salt. I've tried microwaving it. I've tried it cold. I just don't love it. Okay? It's not my favorite. However, I eat avocado every single day because of the health benefits of the fats and the fiber in it that I know my body needs. So it doesn't have to be the most amazing tasting meal in the world for me to eat it. Because again, refer to belief one, food is fuel. All right. So food doesn't have to taste amazing for me to eat it. I am okay with eating things because of their nutritional value. And then I can always add some things like some seasonings and stuff to really help if it's a really bland food. All right. Belief number four. I don't believe that diets, and when I say diets, I mean the choices of foods you make, not diet as in the diet culture type of diet. I don't believe that any type of diet is restrictive, and I don't feel deprived ever. I don't say those words. You will never hear me say that. Here is why. The diet that you are following, whether it is somebody else's diet, whether it is a style of eating, whether it is a diet you have created, whether it is just Whole Foods or whatever it is literally a list of foods. That's all it is. A list of foods is not restrictive. It is not, doesn't deprive you. It is your thought about that list of foods that makes you feel deprived or not. So if I look at foods and say I love chocolate cake, but chocolate cake is not on that list of foods, let's just say you've done, you know, a moderate low carb and you want to do Whole Foods and chocolate cake isn't on there. I don't choose the thought, this is so restrictive, I feel deprived, I can't eat that, that's not fair, everyone else gets to eat it, that's not fair, I'm missing out. Like, those type of thoughts make you feel like you are on a restrictive plan. They make you feel deprived. It's a list of foods. You get to choose how you want to think about it. A really good example, actually, is I have a client that I've just been talking to recently, and she was like, well, I really want to go out for dinner. And she had just committed to doing, you know, a certain amount of days of eating Whole Foods because she wanted to work on her consistency and, you know, find out what comes up. And she was like, is it really that big of a deal if I just, you know, eat the noodles one time? And I said, no, it's not a big deal. That's it. But I want you to take a look at your thoughts. It's your thoughts that are making you feel like you're missing out on this meal. I said, if you're wanting to work on your consistency, then we want to check your thoughts. And you have a thought that's telling you that by going to dinner and not choosing noodles, that you're missing out, that it's not fair. I said, but this is so interesting because it's just a thought. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating noodles inherently. Like, if that's what you want to do, go for it. However, I always look at the thought behind it. Because it is just as easy to have a good thought about healthy food as it is to have a restrictive or deprived thought. Now, this doesn't mean that I say, you know, it's only your thoughts if you're way under eating or you're not getting the right nutrients or you're eating in a very restricted window in which that's not supporting you hormonally. Like, there are definitely exceptions to this, but I'm talking about, like, if you're on a whole food diet and you want to eat foods that came from the ground or had a mother, chocolate cake isn't on there, and you tell yourself, this is not fair, this is so restrictive, it is a thought. You don't have to keep choosing that. That has made dieting, like doing the, not so much dieting, but having a diet, so free, because I am always choosing. And this goes into my belief number five. I don't believe that anything has to be flexible for it to be easy. I often hear people saying, well, I need it to be flexible. I need to be able to live my life. I believe food choice is always flexible. I can always choose to eat however I want. And I'm going to tell you this when we get into the food in just a second. But I do choose to eat pizza sometimes on the weekend. I do choose to eat Donair. I do choose chocolate bars. It is always flexible. But it doesn't mean I have to exercise that flexibility in the direction of eating foods that don't support a healthy brain, a healthy body, a healthy digestive system that makes me feel clear and focused and energized. I had this conversation just a couple weeks ago with a client, actually, and we're talking about what it means for the way we eat to be flexible. And I said, it's always flexible. You always get to choose how you eat. It is just as flexible to choose the chocolate cake as it is to choose the healthy meal. It's always choices. So saying that something isn't flexible, I feel this has never served me in sticking on it. I always get to choose whether I want to eat healthy or not. It's always an ongoing choice. That's why it's flexible. It just doesn't mean I have to choose the poor food to call it flexible. The last belief I have about food that's really been helpful for me is I never do something if I plan not to continue it in the future. I see this all the time. I find it fascinating. We start out with the intention of, you know, eating a certain way, whether that be paleo or keto or whole foods, or we want to do part-time intermittent fasting, or whatever it is that you want to start doing as a style of eating. But you definitely have a belief that at some point in the future, whether that be in 30 days, after I lose the weight, when I feel clear, that you can go back to normal. Like, I have clients come to me all the time and they want to talk about maintenance. They want to talk about what it's like to reach maintenance and what is the steps in order to maintain this healthy lifestyle. And I say, well, how you maintain it is how you got there. So if you eat whole foods 6 days a week, that is how you will maintain that level of clarity and of focus and energy and well-being and health. That is how you maintain it. So I would never do something myself in which I saw as a short-term fix. Any change I make is permanent and long-term. The only exception to that is when I issue a 30-day no sugar, no flour challenge to myself. The reason for that is because sometimes I see perhaps I've eaten sugar and flour a little more often than I would like, and I'm noticing cravings coming up because I always want to be in charge of my choices when it comes to food. I want to choose if I eat a chocolate bar or I want to choose if I eat a salad. I don't want to just choose the chocolate bar because I'm craving it in the moment and I can't control myself. So I often find that that just means I need to do a little bit of a reset. So what I'll do, and you've heard me talk about this before, is I will do 30 days of no sugar and no flour. And what that'll do is it'll really help me reset my hormones. It'll help me reset my palate. It'll help me reset my cravings. And then I find I'm back in a place where I can choose. I'm still doing 5-6 days a week of no sugar, no flour anyway. So it's not that it is something I plan not to do to maintain that. It's almost a check and a balance for me. So if you are listening to this and thinking, oh yeah, well, I just, you know, want to do this until my energy is a bit better, or I want to do this so I can lose 10 pounds and then I'm just going to go back to eating normal. Well, how you got to where you are now is by eating what you consider normal. So there needs to be a new normal. So those are my beliefs about food. And this just kind of gives you an insight to how I think about food that has served me so well and has made eating healthy really consistent. And it's what I work on with my clients over and over again. I talk to them about what their thoughts are about food, because it's one thing to just, you know, decide to eat whole foods. It's another thing to try to stick to it. We all know that consistency is the hardest part, hands down. So a lot of my work is spent understanding, okay, what is it that's making this hard? Is it a thought that you feel restrictive? Is it a thought that, you know, this is hard, or that there is a maintenance down the road, or that things can go back to normal? The real solution comes down to understanding that no two people's style of eating are the same, because we are all different people. And what it takes is a commitment to figuring it out, a commitment to testing over and over again what strategies work, what strategies don't, recording the data, making decisions for yourself based on how you feel, based on how your brain performs, and not just how we look or want to look in 3 months from now. Like I said, it's about understanding how your thinking works about food more than exactly what you're eating, because we can all download a diet off the internet, but why doesn't it work? It's our thinking. So, I mean, just before we go into exactly what I eat in a day, if you want me to help you through this process of figuring out what foods work for you, how to eat, what time to eat, and this is based on experimental data and watching you and your body and how it feels and how your brain feels and finding your personalized set of standard operating procedures for how your brain works, this is the work I do with my clients. So if you're struggling to find something that is easy and long-term, your first step is to start by hopping on a consultation call with me and we can talk about working together one-on-one. So I will leave the link in the description for this, or you can head to tanessashears.com/apply to book your consultation spot, and I can definitely help you through this process and make it enjoyable and help you be consistent with eating healthy whole foods. So let's jump into talking about what I eat in a day. So my first meal of the day, like most people's, is breakfast. And I either have breakfast at 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. And I'm going to explain that when I get to the why. For breakfast, on the majority of days of week 1 and 2 in my cycle, so if you think of day 1 as the first day of your period, for 2 weeks, I generally eat 3 eggs that are scrambled with half an avocado every single morning. Now, if you don't have an active menstrual cycle, you can just disregard that part in understanding the why, but I think it's important for me to explain where my thinking is around this. So after those first 2 weeks, I actually bump up the volume of my breakfast. So not only do I eat my 3 scrambled eggs and half an avocado in the morning, but I actually start including oatmeal. So I include 1/3 cup of dry oatmeal with 1 tablespoon of chia seeds, 1 tablespoon of ground flax seeds that are stored in the freezer to help them stay better, the fats more integrity longer. And then I put in about 1 cup of mixed organic berries. If I add water some weeks, that is what I'll do to kind of, you know, moisten up the oatmeal a little bit. And sometimes I'll just add almond milk. So I will switch it up. So on weeks 1 and 2 of my cycle, when I'm just eating the eggs and the avocado, I'll usually eat it around 9 a.m. because that's when my daughter starts having breakfast. On weeks 3 and 4, when I'm adding the oatmeal in, I'll actually eat my breakfast at 6 a.m. if possible. Well, why is that? Well, because during weeks 1 and 2 of my cycle, there's actually a natural appetite suppression that happens, and your body actually burns less calories. This means that I am less hungry, so I don't need as much fuel in the morning. The other fascinating thing is that during this first 2 weeks, my blood sugar is a lot more stable, so I don't need any type of slow digesting carbs to help with that. And I end up leaving most of my carbs for the afternoon or evening during the first 2 weeks. During weeks 3 and 4 of my cycle, what ends up happening is that there is a natural appetite increase that happens and you burn slightly more calories every single day. But this also means that my blood sugar is a lot less stable. So I like to incorporate that slow digesting oatmeal in the morning along with the fats and the proteins and everything like that to slow down the absorption of that carbohydrate glucose molecule so that it can help stabilize my blood sugar. I often find that when I wake up during these 2 weeks, I am so hungry in the morning. But when you recognize that that is a normal physiological process that your body goes through, it's really easy to be like, oh, of course, I'll just add a bit more food. So another thing that happens in week 3 and 4 is the body naturally produces a bit more cortisol. Now, this is for 2 reasons why I change up my breakfast. Number one is that carbohydrate kind of helps mitigate a little bit of that cortisol boost that happens in the morning. And I don't want to be feeling all cortisol-y because it can leave me in fight or flight. And I notice it is easier for me to feel anxious in the second 2 weeks. The other thing is when cortisol is higher in the body, this is not the ideal situation for intermittent fasting. One of the contraindications of intermittent fasting is actually if you are a highly stressed individual or if your body is under stress. Notice I didn't say if you think you're stressed. It's if your body is under stress. And sometimes the only way you can tell that is either by doing a cortisol test, or you can also measure your heart rate variability on some of our watches and devices and stuff like that. So this is why I actually expand my eating window. So I will eat at 6 a.m. during these last 2 weeks to make sure that my body is in a very healthy, low cortisol place that is having stable blood sugar. And during the first 2 weeks, I'll actually eat at 9 a.m. So it's a little bit more of an intermittent fasting style protocol, and I cycle it in and out. But these are not hard and fast rules. This is always how I am thinking, is how is my body feeling? What does my body need right now? So I base it on science and then also do a self-reflection and look in to see how I'm feeling in that moment. So as far as food choices, that gives you a little bit of an idea of why the carbs make an introduction into my morning. But beyond that, when I'm looking at the eggs and the avocado, what I'm looking at there is my source of protein happening in the morning? And it is from the eggs. And the half of an avocado complements the type of fat that's in the eggs very nicely, making sure I get a high fat, protein-filled breakfast. So this is great because it really helps me stay full. It makes sure I start my day off with brain-boosting healthy fats and healthy foods. And then as far as when I add the oatmeal in, you know, I get the carbohydrate from the oatmeal, and the chia and flax seeds have the healthy fats in there. The mixed organic berries are full of antioxidants and fiber and all of these things that really just help set my body up. So if I was looking to swap out something on this day, that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, okay, where is my protein? Did I get a fat in the morning? Yes. Okay. Now, did I get a slow digesting carb when I need it to? And are there fats and proteins in that meal as well? So the reason I really enjoy eating fat and protein with my carbohydrates is because fat and protein actually stimulate a hormone called CCK, or cholecystokinin, that happens in the small intestine, and it slows down transit of food. So food moves slower through your digestive tract. And this is a good thing because it means that the glucose is absorbed slower. So we don't get a massive glucose upswing and blood sugar upswing, and then we don't get a crash afterwards. So I'm always thinking about, you know, what am I eating together? So one of my rules of thumb is I never eat carbs alone. The reason for that, like I said, is they get absorbed faster, and it is a massive blood sugar upswing, which usually is followed by a crash. So try to include a protein or a fat source when eating your carbohydrates. And I think that's one of the biggest things that's wrong with most breakfasts. And I know, like I literally just did a couple of episodes ago, 6 delicious, no sugar, no flour breakfast. It is so important because most traditional breakfasts are massive carb bombs. Think cereal, think muffins, think bagels, think toast. We need to make sure that we are combining our carbohydrates in the morning with healthy fats or healthy protein or a little bit of both. So that is breakfast. Now, lunch, I usually have 12 or 1 p.m. This is pretty much because this is when I take my breaks during my workday. It is also when I notice I'm starting to get hungry. So my lunch is pretty dang standard, just like my breakfast. For lunch, I will have a very large salad, and I'm talking about large to the point where it takes me half an hour to eat it. So I have to make sure I block off time for that because I can't be doing calls or being with clients while I'm eating this massive salad. So I have a very large salad. So on this salad, I am always including a base of mixed greens. I do try to mix them up. So thinking things like organic Swiss chard and kale, and I'm mixing in spinach and arugula, and I'm trying to get diversity. One of the problems I see over and over again with salads of my clients is they'll just grab iceberg lettuce or just regular lettuce. So iceberg lettuce in itself has very little nutritional value to it. So I always suggest getting a mix of greens, whether that be, you know, from a spring mix, or you actually buy them individually and mix them yourself. And the other thing when I'm looking at greens is those are one of those things that you always want to buy organic, because organic greens are shown to have much less pesticides. If you think about like a spinach leaf, it absorbs everything, right? Like it absorbs pesticides and any pollution, anything like that, that might be in the air or the water. So we want to make sure that we are buying organic where possible to give our bodies the best chance of having the least chemicals in it. So with this large salad, I always mix it up. Sometimes I will buy like a power blend that has cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts in it and put that on top. Sometimes I'll buy like a carriage cabbage and like coleslaw mix and add it on top. I'll cut up peppers or cucumbers. Right now I'm going to be growing microgreens and sprouts in our house to add on top of the salad to really boost it. So salads can be fun. They can have lots of different things in them. Pick some good dressings. And I know we often get into the discussion of like most store-bought dressings are made with omega-6 inflammatory oils. So if you look on the back, you'll likely see sunflower oil, safflower oil, canola oil, vegetable oil. And generally, these are oils that I do not want to be eating. However, I always take everything in balance. So if it is a certain dressing that is going to excite me about eating salads, I kind of weigh the pros and cons and try to make the best choice that is going to get me to eat the best overall. And I can always work on refining our dressing choices as we go. So with my large salad, I'm usually always eating some type of seafood. Now, if you listen to the episode I did, I think it was two episodes ago, episode 39, all about fish, specifically smash fish. And I'm including one of these with my salad, either sardines, mackerel, anchovies, salmon, or herring, wild fish on my lunch. Why? This gets my protein in there. This gets my healthy omega-3 fats that are critical for brain performance in there. And this is something that I really fill out my salad with. And I'll usually add, you know, some kinds of like feta cheese or different things to add a little bit of fat in there. Sometimes that hard-boiled egg or some extra avocado. But in general, I'm looking for that fish. This really is the perfect place to open up a can of sardines. I like the ones that are in lemon juice and add in some salmon. So to where I'm looking at again, where is my fat? Where is my protein? This is that meal. Like, I want to be including that fish at least 4 times a week. So this is kind of an easy go place. Wild canned salmon works great. Canned sardines, they are easy. And what I think is important about lunch, especially if you're working in your business, is that it's something that you can literally create and throw together in just a couple minutes. I find that the longer a lunch takes to prepare, the less likely you are to make that good choice. So you can pre-make a big batch of salad and you can have your canned wild salmon and sardines and just throw it on a thing and you can, you know, eat it out on the balcony or the deck and get some time outside, or if you need to eat it at your desk, so be it, but at least it is a healthy choice. So that is what I eat the majority of times for lunch. If I am in week 3 or 4 of my cycle, remember how I said you sometimes need more calories because your body burns more and your appetite increases, I might add a little bit of rice to lunch, just seeing how I'm feeling. It's something I kind of do on a day by day. So a really fun thing that I do with some of my clients is when they are getting in the habit of salads and they don't like the idea of prepping all the vegetables, I usually have them go and start with getting one of those bagged mix salads. So most of us have heard of like those sweet kale mix salads and stuff like that. And they really give you great exposure to salad and trying different flavors and combos and tastes with the dressing without having to do all the cutting and chopping yourself. So I always have a little thing that I love to do. I try them and then I buy them. So what that means is, well, for example, I went into Costco and they came out with a brand new one called, I think it's called like dill pickle salad or something like that. And I bought the little bag of it, loved it. So then what I did is I went and bought all the ingredients individually. So I was like, okay, I've got feta cheese. Yep. I've got ranch dill flavored dressing. Yep. I've got dill weed. Yep. I've got my greens. Yep. And I went through. And the nice thing is because I'm not buying it in the bag, I have the choice to make healthier choices. So I will buy my greens organic. I find usually in a lot of those salad mix bags, the greens aren't organic. So that's why I kind of like to buy it all separately. And it makes it really easy to buy all the greens and everything like that all on its own. And I often find it's a lot cheaper than buying the bag salads. So at the end of the day, it really comes down to what you are more likely to consistently implement. So when you're looking at salads, be creative. Go on Pinterest, look up salads, look up Buddha bowls, get some different options, grow some vegetables if you want. Like, these are all fun ways to include a ton of different vegetables at lunch. All right, we are rounding up on dinner. So dinner at our house is usually around 5 or 6 p.m. So with this dinner here, dinner is the meal for us that changes quite frequently. Like our breakfasts, you'll notice, are similar day to day. Our lunches are similar day to day. And that's because of ease. We don't have a lot of time in the morning or at lunch to be preparing different meals all the time. So we just keep it really straightforward. But dinner is the one where we add a little bit of variety in. But again, when I say a little bit of variety, it's not crazy different. And we do bulk prep for 3 or 4 days in a row. So, I mean, we get a little bit of variety every week. But like I said, not the priority. It's eating well and making sure that my family is fed all the nutrients they need. So as far as dinner, what that might look like is we might eat, you know, chicken thighs and side vegetables. So the side vegetables at night are where we really get to add in some variety. So a good option there, we do like asparagus when it's in season, Brussels sprouts, carrots, green beans. Sometimes we'll buy those frozen vegetable mixes if it's like in the middle of winter and there's not a lot of stuff in season right now. So that's a really good option. Taco salad is another one that we really love. So what we'll do is we will get some ground meat and season it, add a little bit of cheese, peppers, some corn kernels, sometimes black beans. We might mix in some greens. I really like to kind of make them into big warm salads. So dinner is usually a warm meal for me. That's really only out of personal preference. There's no actual reason for that, but that's what it usually is. So if I look at my plate, there is a protein source and there is a ton of different vegetables. And sometimes I will add in a carbohydrate. Actually, usually I'll add in a carbohydrate. And what that'll look like, that'll either look like sweet potatoes or rice for the most part. We have experimented with some other grains, but I find that my stomach is sensitive to some of them. So quinoa, for example, it's hit or miss. I'm missing it right now on purpose because I don't find it's agreeing with me. I find that is always just a personal choice and seeing how your body feels. So if you look at the why behind my dinner when I'm choosing it, I find that dinner is my chance for vegetable variety because my salads, you know, while you can put a lot in salads, I find that you can be a lot more creative with trying some different things. So this is sometimes where we'll cook up some bok choy, asparagus, Brussels sprouts. Like I said, these are all different things. Sometimes we'll mix them together. Sometimes we'll pressure cook them. Sometimes we'll steam them in our steamer. This is just a good chance to make sure that you are getting variety. Another mistake that I see in client meal plans all the time is they eat the same vegetables over and over. So every vegetable has different micronutrients, vitamins, and minerals in it. And a lot of that actually depends on the color of the vegetables. So when you're looking at your plate, not only do you want variety of vegetables, but you want variety in color. And this is a beautiful place. So maybe you'll do some purple cabbage at dinner, or you'll do some purple carrots when you've usually done orange, or you'll add in some tomatoes, or like there's all kinds of different ways you could change it up. And I find that dinner is how I do that. And like I said, if I do a carb meal, it's dinner. This is usually at dinner because it helps with serotonin production at night. And serotonin is a precursor to melatonin, which is a hormone that actually helps you sleep very well. So if I am doing a one carb meal day, I do like to put it at dinner because, like I said, it does help me sleep better. So if I'm looking at carb choices, I do like to choose no flour options. So good options, like I said, are, you know, you have rice, you have quinoa, you have sweet potatoes, you have amaranth, millet, teff, sorghum, buckwheat works really well. There's a lot of grains that you can experiment with that are wonderful in place of, you know, pasta and flour-based carb meals. The other thing I think about when I'm planning dinner is I want to make sure it is far enough from bedtime. So if you eat within 3 hours before bed, what happens is your heart rate needs to stay elevated as you digest your food, and this actually can disrupt the quality and restorative nature of your sleep. So what I usually recommend is make sure that your dinner is finishing at least 3 hours before bed. So I'm usually sleeping by 9, so I like to finish by 6. But on the same note, I've noticed personally for me, if I finish closer to 4 hours before bed, I feel like I have a lot more of a restful sleep and I'm not tossing and turning so much. So experimenting with your dinner time. Now, this doesn't mean sometimes I don't eat dinner at 7:30 just because that is the nature of how the day went. This is just what I do the majority of the time. So if I have dinner at 5 or 6, you'll notice that this is either a 12-hour window if I'm starting my breakfast at 6 a.m. or a 9-hour eating window if I'm starting my breakfast at 9 a.m. And it really comes down to where I am in my cycle. It is not arbitrary. I'm not just doing this on a day-by-day basis. Same thing with carbs. I'm always basing it back to where my body is hormonally. How can I support that so that my body is performing great and I feel healthy and I'm aligned, right? I don't choose things arbitrarily. It is all intentional. Now, the last thing I want to say before I jump off is, do I eat sugar and flour all the time, or do I eat no sugar, no flour all the time, rather? The answer is no. On weekends, I usually enjoy a treat. And one of the things I'm really like obsessed with right now is orange flavored chocolate bars or Bridge Mix, funny enough. Those are my favorites right now. And I mean, sometimes we'll grab a pizza. We grabbed Donair the other day. But I gotta tell you, whenever we make those choices, I always feel it. I always either get a bit of a stomach ache, or I'm a little more tired the next day, or I notice my energy drops off, or bowel movements will change. Like, all of these things happen when you eat whole foods. Your body definitely notices when you put processed foods back in. So how I compensate for this is I am very smart about when I eat it. So I know that like my body tolerates a small amount of that stuff well, but I still feel it. So what I know for that is I don't want to eat those foods on days where I want to feel my best, which are days I'm working with clients. I have a lot to get done. I want to be productive. I want to be present with my family, and I want to feel my best. So I don't eat sugar and flour foods on my work days when I need my brain performing at its best. What this looks like for us is if we do have, you know, chocolate or pizza or something like that, I will actually have it on a Saturday or a Sunday. And specifically not a Sunday night, because I really want to feel good for Monday morning. So that is one of the things, is when you're always observing your body and how you feel, you can make choices on what works best for you, not about being impulsive in the moment. And at the end of the day, we're always getting back on track. And it's never hard to go back to eating no sugar, no flour Monday to Friday, because it's who I am. I embody that. And I don't just like the idea of eating whole foods, or I don't just talk about it on the podcast. Like, I embody it. I eat, sleep, and breathe whole foods and recipes and finding what works better for me. And now I'm wanting to grow my own organic veggies, right? And we don't need to do all of these steps to embody it, but it is who I am and it is how I live my life that makes it so easy to get back on track. So I hope that has been a super helpful episode for you, taking a peek into my menu of what I eat every single day, but not just what I eat, why I eat it, because it is so important to be able to think critically and make alternate choices when the original choices we wanted aren't available, and being able to see that. And like I said, if you need help figuring out how to do this yourself, click the link or go to TanessaShears.com/apply and let's sit down and talk about it together. This is something that will definitely transform the way you feel about your body and you feel about food. And it is just such a freeing way to live when you have full confidence that even if you have a treat on the weekend, you can evaluate how it makes you feel. And you know that getting back on track is just the simplest thing in the world. It's a very freeing thing to know that about food. And I always believe that food freedom is not eating well all the time. It's not having to think about eating well all the time, because it's just who you are, and you can open up that brain space to go and think about something else, maybe like your business. So I hope that's been a great episode for you guys. I would love if you let me know, what do you eat in a day? Let me know on Instagram. That's where I'm hanging out lately. If we're not friends, head there at Tanessa Shears. I post on stories all the time. You can see the salad and the sardines in action. You can watch my garden grow, all of the fun things there. I hope you have a beautiful week, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next time. Bye. Ready to begin each day feeling energized and focused? I'd love to work with you one-on-one. In my Becoming Limitless program, you're going to learn how to optimize your brain and body with science and biohacking so you can be highly productive and grow your business faster. Join me over at TanessaShears.com/work with me. I'll see you there.